roll with it. Thanks.
Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. I tell you, the year is rolling right on by. This is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Welcome, welcome, welcome to today's edition of Foxology. It's a good one. That's my word for the day. Good, good, good. Well, they all are, but of course, my opinion is biased. I kind of like all my shows. And you know what else? I'm committed to making sure that all of them are good. Good info for you always, good quality programming, good listening, and really, 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 did I say really? Really good guests. Really good stuff for you always. You can count on it. I plan it that way, people. Yes, I do. So I hope you're doing good today, and I hope you'll be doing even better after this show, especially if you're listening in because you're feeling like your money is stressed and not blessed, especially if you're feeling like you're not only down to your last dollar, but also your money issues have you on your last nerve. My guest today is author Bob Wheeler, author of The Money Nerve, and he knows a lot of something about that money nerve. And if you felt that pinch, the squeeze, the pressure, well, you've tuned in on the right day. You're in the right place at the right time because he's going to tell you how to come to grips with your money instead of your money having such an uncomfortable grip on you. That sounds like a wonderful beginning to a good financial plan of action, right? Well, I think so. You ready to get started? Okay, well, here he is. Welcome, Bob.
Good afternoon. It's great to talk to you, Silver. Good to be here.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you're here. I have a feeling that a lot of people have some information that you need. I have no doubt about that.
It is a topic that has a lot of triggers.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's an unending one as well. I'm sure it keeps you busy all the time. I bet you get just an onslaught of options in your email and however else people reach you.
Yes, I do. And, you know, the funny thing is, I do workshops. I work with people on money, and they always hope that we can come to a final conclusion and never deal with it again. And unfortunately, money and finances are like a good relationship or a bad one, but they continue, and you have to continue to work at it and continue to deal with it. Yeah. With stuff that comes your way.
Yes, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful show. I'm very excited about what you have to share. But let's start talking about you, because I always like to give my guests information that shows them that you're not just talking loud, that you really are talking about stuff that you know. So let's let them hear about you. Tell us about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a CPA. I have been a CPA for about 30 years. I started when I was 5. And then I'm also the CFO of the Comedy Store, world famous Comedy Store in Hollywood. And I've been with them for about 20 years. And I do that. I teach money workshops. I have a podcast as well called Funny Money. And I like working with people around money because I found when I first started my practice, just doing taxes, they turned into therapy sessions because people had so many triggers, and you know, I was able to listen to them and hear them and not judge them so that we could try and figure out a strategy to move forward. Because a lot of stuff around money ends up being very emotional, and so even though the experts will say everything's black and white, there's a lot of gray, and there's just a lot of fear and anxiety, and people just don't like to talk about it, you know, in general.
Yeah, for sure. How'd you come up with the money nerve? Is it because you, in your experience, you have that aha moment that said this isn't really so much always about the money itself? It's about something that's triggering every person that I talk to in a particular way.
Well, absolutely. And that's exactly what happened when I was trying to come up with the name of the book. You know, Navigating the Emotions of Money was where I was starting. And I realized it's internal. It's in our body. You know, when somebody bounces a check, or when somebody calls to say, I need to collect some money, or when you find out you won, you know, $100 in the lottery, you feel it, you know, either in your stomach, or you feel nauseous, or you get heartburn. And we feel it. It's in us. And so that's when I realized, it's not just about 2 + 2 = 4. It's how do I feel about it when I get to 4? And am I angry, upset, and all that? So yeah, and I think there's what I discovered is, and which I would tell your listeners is, you're not alone in this struggle with money. I work with people that are millionaires, billionaires. I work with people that make $20,000 a year. It doesn't matter the number of zeros that follow that one. People have emotional, you know, issues that tie back to their childhood, that tie back to self-worth. And until we can start to be aware of those underlying unconscious emotions, we can't really – it's harder to actually manifest those things that we want.
Yes. You just said something really interesting about working with millionaires and people who make $1,000 a year. That's quite a widespread. What I'd like to ask you – well, this is my point. That's widespread, but what is it that a millionaire and a person with an income of $20,000 have in common in relationship to what you do as far as the money nerve issue? What is that commonality that draws that millionaire to you for help and that person who has the income of $20,000 to you? Are we all experiencing the same kind of similar things when it comes to an emotional response to money?
We are. And certainly everybody gets a different download. My experience, though, is that a lot of people, even people with money, don't feel like they deserve it. People maybe just like them for their money. They can't really trust, or like, how did I get so lucky when there's other people out there struggling? And people without a lot of money come to me and say, you know, I must be doing something wrong. I work hard, but I must not really be deserving. So there's the common theme of is, am I enough? Do I deserve it? And some people will program themselves to unconsciously sabotage every time opportunity comes. More people are afraid of success than they are of failure. And even people with money will say, I don't know how I got here. Now, I mean, sometimes there are people certainly that are born into wealth, but even some of those people that I work with say, you know, why did I get to be the lucky one? I'm not that smart. I'm not that deserving. I'm not that compassionate. You know, they'll make a list of everything that they're not, instead of just saying, hey, this is what I've been given, and what am I going to do with it that serves?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really interesting. I think there are probably in a wider audience, of course, because there's so much fewer millionaires than they are people who are making other income levels, whether they be high or low. But you often hear people with their complaints, you know, they'll say the money just got away, and, you know, it's in and out. Like you said, you hear them saying, I'm working hard, but it's just not working for me. You know, you often hear people say things like, I have more month than money. So those are some of the more common themes I would maybe say hit a lot households that come to other, you know, somebody's front door when they're feeling challenged about money. And when you're talking about the money nerve, you know, feeling that pinch is probably pretty common. What are some of the things that you come out of the gates to tell people to so that they can begin to feel a little lessening of that emotional bond that's got them held so, you know, in a space where they feel like there's no room to move?
Yeah, so, you know, when I meet with people, the first thing I ask people is, are you willing to be uncomfortable and are you willing to change? Because I've actually had people say, no, I'm not. And so I know that there's no point in going further with that. So that's the first thing I ask. Are you willing to be a little uncomfortable? Are you willing to look at some stuff that maybe you haven't looked at before? And what I do with clients is I work the practical with the emotional. So for me to look and see why somebody has more month than money, I want to look at a budget. I want to see where are they spending and they're not including it. And what are the things that you pretend don't exist? And it's amazing how much people, when we track it, spend at, you know, buying these expensive coffees, or, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't realize we'd go out to dinner every single night. Or if they take money out of the ATM, it doesn't count. So we start to get conscious and intentional about what money's coming in and what's coming out. The thing that I encourage people when we start looking at this stuff, and I would encourage your listening audience, is to say, wow, isn't that curious? Isn't that interesting that I'm always overdrawn at the bank? Or isn't that interesting? I never seem to have enough money when I get to the middle of the month. And so that it's not a judgment. So I'm not making people bad for how they spend their money. If somebody has an addiction, if somebody has whatever it might be, I don't judge that. I just say, we just need to factor that in until you can make a change if you want to. So it's always, for me, it's an invitation to say to people, do you really want to look at this and do you really want to have the abundance that you think that you do? Because you can have it if you're willing to actually do some work, take a look at it, and be a little uncomfortable.
I have no doubt listening to you that you have the ability to help your clients reach the success that they want to. I hear it, and I you know, I read thoroughly what your website said, and the confidence in your delivery is there. What I'm wondering now, based on what you said about people will, you know, sometimes challenge your request for change and being uncomfortable, mm-hmm. is that the hardest part for them? And how often do you see them actually working that out in your plan for them? Is it something that, like a lot of things, you start and you stop, or you start and you just say, you know, I still need more money, or whatever the case may be? What's the hardest part for people when they jump on board with you?
I think the hardest part is really actually starting to take the steps forward, because most of us get really comfortable, and most of us don't move out of where we are until it's more uncomfortable being where we are. And so if we're sort of comfortable and now we're going to have to do some work, that's not going to, it's just like when you go to the gym and you haven't worked out and all of a sudden now you're going to have to start exercising. You don't just go run a marathon if you haven't ever exercised. You got to start walking. You got to take baby steps. So what I really like to do with people is work with, hey, let's just get from A to B. Let's work A to B and work A to B, work A to B. And then after that, let's go to C. I'm not trying to get – and a lot of people want to just get from A to Z, and they don't want to do the work in between. Or they'll say, I'll do three of the steps, so can I have 30% more? And that's really the hardest part, is saying, yes, I'm committed to this. I believe in myself. These are the things that I want. This is what the universe wants me to have, and I'm willing to do it. Once they can take that in, and that can take a few weeks. It can take a little bit of time. And I just keep saying, I'm just inviting you. You're not forced to do it. I want this to be your choice, like, because you're doing it for you. Don't do it for me. And once people really say, you know what, I'm ready, then it's amazing what starts to open up. It's just that first resistance, because it means looking at your life choices, looking at your belief system, looking at what your parents taught you, looking at what your culture taught you, looking at what your particular religious upbringing might have taught you, And so that's a lot of stuff to look at, and it goes
really
beyond
is.
Just money. Yeah. But it's amazing when people do it.
Well, I know there are a lot of factors, and they all have to come into play in order for you to get a nice situation for yourself and to make sure that as you move forward, you are making your money work best for you. I can remember having a revelation. I won't even call it an aha moment because it was bigger than that.
Yeah.
Aha moments work sometimes, but I need a real revelation. And I remember saying during my self-talk, and money, you know, you can think of it going out and doing what it does and all, but money doesn't have a mind of its own. It does what you tell it to do. And that was what the revelation that I got. It doesn't have a mind of its own. It's not just floating into places and saying, hey, this is not, I think I like this new dress. I think I like that car. It's not saying anything. It's doing exactly what you tell it to do. And that was really enough of a revelation. I mean, to really get some reins and reel myself in to see, boy, does that not make sense. That's the thing I ever said to myself, I think.
That is so true. I mean, money is a neutral energy that we direct. We can either learn to let it come through our lives and we can make it work for us, or we can just let it keep passing through our fingers and then wondering what's happening. So it's in our control for sure. It's at our fingertips.
Yeah. Listen, what is the what's the area with people and their money where they feel pinched the most? Is it spending? Is it a habit? Is it overwhelmed with family stuff? Where are people feeling the pinch the most that you find?
You know, I find that most people feel like it's just not enough. Like what I have is not enough and I need to get more. And I think that the advertising world and the media sort of help perpetuate that you got to have it now. They have those ads where, why are you using cash when you could use a credit card and make the line go faster? And right. And everything's about like, we got to get as much as possible. Instead of for me, I don't think people take in enough of saying, wow, I'm really actually grateful for what I do have right now, instead of just looking for the next big thing. And I just find in this country, particularly because I've traveled, which is what has helped give me a perspective that's different, is that we need to have more, and we got to have the newer car, and we feed our ego. And you know, I'm guilty of that too. Sometimes I'm like, wow, yeah, I think I need that. I don't need that. It'd be fun. And so I think people get caught up in this competition where they're competing with other people, thinking that that ultimately matters instead of what really fulfills me.
Mm-hmm. So it still boils down to, you got to really do some self analytics and come to terms and be honest with where you really are and how you feel and think and what you do with it.
Yeah. Look, I'll be honest. I enjoy money. I enjoy having it in my bank.
Sure.
I enjoy the things.
Of course,
that I can
we all
do.
It.
But it's not. It doesn't drive me. I will give up if it means losing a client or not staying in my integrity. I don't want it. That's my personal choice,
mm-hmm.
and everybody has their own level of what works. It's not the driving force for me. I'm grateful for what I have in my life, and I tell you, when I spent a month in Africa several years ago, and in Tanzania, the average income is $100 a year, and these people were happy. And I kept going, what is wrong with you people? You're so happy. You don't have a TV. You don't have a car. You don't have all the things you're supposed to have. And they're like, we love being alive. And it really shifted my thinking because they were so happy. And I just really had to do some soul searching and realized, wow, it really isn't the material things. It's about family. It's about experiences. It's about memories. It's about communication. It's about connection. It's about community. For me, And it's different from everybody, but I find that once people can start to see that, wow, life's pretty amazing, and that my prosperity is from the inside out, that from there they can really then start to let the other stuff in and actually make choices that serve them better, because they're not competing with anybody, but they're actually looking to fulfill themselves.
Yes, that's awesome. Listen, we have probably about 5 minutes that we can talk before I start to close. And
okay.
What I would like for you to do is share maybe some principles, some basic principles, if you would, with the audience within that time frame that you feel you would like to have them take away today.
So the couple things that I would like people to take away is that don't wait for your ship to come in. Don't wait for somebody outside of you to bring it to you. Look inward to yourself to find the things and make life happen the way that you want it to happen. And really be intentional in the words that you use. People will say, I'm broke, I need, where they might actually just be cash poor at the moment. They might really desire something. So really looking at the words that they use when it comes to money, and really start to be aware of emotions. If somebody declines a credit card, do you scream at them? Do you make it everybody else's fault? Once you can start to see where your emotions take you, you can then actually start to be in control of them so that they don't control you. I find a lot of times people let their emotions or their ego make decisions that really don't serve them. And so I would just say, really start to look at what are your choices, what's important to you, how do you want to be remembered, what do you want to leave on this earth that reflects who you are, and to do all that, you really have to look inward and just say, you know, I am the captain of my ship, and I'm going to figure out where I've had my mental blocks. I'm going to look at where I believe that I don't deserve, and am I enough? Because I would say to everybody out there, you are enough, and you can have all the things that you want if you're willing to do some self-reflection and put in the work. Put in the work. Proactive abundance is what I like to say. It's abundance is out there. The universe wants you to succeed. The universe wants you to have all that you can have and more. It's, are you willing to receive it, and are you really willing to stand in that? Because a lot of people have fear of standing in their power and their leadership and their abundance, because it's scary to stand up and say, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there are probably some practical things that people can do. While you were speaking, it came to mind.
Yep.
A lot of my background is as a corporate trainer. I remember being in a room full of employees and all who felt they were overworked and underpaid. And mm-hmm. the gist of most of the conversation led in that direction, and how, you know, it was tough to do this and tough to do that. And from a practical standpoint, as a trainer, you know, you're leading everything. And so you need to have both a great understanding of employee workplaces and psychology but also a very practical view of things that mm-hmm. you can share. So I said to one gentleman who really was lit about things, I said, have you ever considered getting another job, a part-time job to supplement this one?
Mm-hmm.
And you should have seen the raised eyebrows. As if,
right.
That, I'm thinking, okay, well, that makes sense. It'll bring you a couple hundred more dollars
right.
a week, and maybe another $1,000 a month, and oh, how profound! Okay, but I only brought that up to say that we sometimes forget, in the midst of our complaining, the quality that we still have to bring to another job, or the energy that we can, you know, we have left to, you know, work 3 or 4 more hours a day or whatever, because it will eliminate the pressure of that nerve. It really does. And, and if you're fortunate, you find something really satisfying to complement who you are, what you're doing.
Well, absolutely. And it's funny because a lot of people, when you offer them that option, they'll say, well, I don't want to work another job. Oh, I thought you wanted more money. So then, you know, what's the truth of what they want? I just want to complain.
Exactly.
Or yes, I really actually do want more money, and am I willing to do it? Because there are people out there that are making it happen that have started with nothing.
It's true. It's true. And you can't get something for nothing in most cases. And that's, you know, you alluded to that a little earlier too. So it there's a formula for all of this. And that's just the way it shakes out. You do this and you get money.
And a budget is a great way to start. Just start recording money in and money out. If somebody buys you dinner, that's a gift. Like that's a real practical way to start to get aware of, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was spending it there. And then actually seeing what money comes in. People are surprised. When I do workshops at Agape Spiritual Center, by the end of the 10 weeks, people have a lot more money in their bank account just from the 10 weeks, just from awareness.
Well, sometimes, Bob, all they need is somebody like you to tell them, to help that light go on. And that's what I feel this conversation has been about as well, helping people have that light bulb go on, or having their little aha moment because you just happened to touch on something that they needed to hear about where they are with their money. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
But before I let you go, I need you to tell people that about your workshops and tell them how to get to your website in case they'd like to have you come and present for them.
Great. So the website is themoneynerve.com. themoneynerve.com. I have workshops coming up in Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto, Portland, and D.C. I also do workshops locally in L.A. I'm always happy to come and speak with people and work with groups either, you know, over a weekend or an evening. I'm very passionate about people making shifts in their lives to actually have the lives they want. And there's all kinds of information there. You can send me an email and I will be happy to respond if you have a personal question. You know, it's we all help each other, and but that's how you can find me. And I really love going out there and doing this stuff because I had so many people helping me, and I feel so grateful and humbled to be here. And I'm happy to share what little information I have that hopefully will spark somebody else.
Bob, just in case there are people who might want to just email you more immediately, could you give out your? Would you mind giving out your email address?
Sure, it's bob@themoneynerve.com.
Well, that's simple enough for sure.
Well, exactly.
It has been a real pleasure talking with you today, and I appreciate you taking your time to share your knowledge and expertise with my listeners. And I have no doubt there was a lot of inspiration and a lot of inclination to do something different than they have been doing before. And that's all it takes is, as you said, being a little uncomfortable and making the change. And it's amazing the things that you can make happen. Thank you so much, Bob, for being here with me today.
Absolutely.
You
well,
enjoy
I
your
wish,
day
yeah.
and
I
keep
will.
Up the good work, sir.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks again.
All right.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
And thank you all, as usual, for taking the time out to tune in. That was really great. Bob Wheeler, author of The Money Nerve, and he is quite the expert, I tell you. So make sure you check him out at themoneynerve.com and get that information or learn where he's doing some workshops, perhaps in your area. Please let your friends and family on social media know about Foxology today, because as I said earlier in the show, I'm always offering something that's good for you. I absolutely plan it that way. So keep in touch with me by going to Foxology on Facebook and connecting, and you'll always hear when something is going on. And I want to tell you just to have a most amazing day. I hope everything's all good in your world. Take care now. Be good. Be blessed. Be awesome.